In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, Amen. I'd like to welcome you all to our Perseverance Family Conversation. It's great to be with you as always. And today, as always, we'd like to begin our conversation by inviting Mary to be with us. Mary is the Mother of God. Mary is the Mother of the Church. And Mary is the Mother of each and every one of us. And when we pray the Hail, Holy Queen, we invoke Mary with these words. Mary is our life, our sweetness, and our hope. So let's turn to Mary and beg Mary for the grace to grow in our knowledge and our love for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As we pray the prayer that Mary loves most, and that prayer is the Hail Mary. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Now let's turn to our spiritual director. Our spiritual director is actually the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit has many different titles. Holy Spirit is the Paraclete. Holy Spirit is also known as the Gift of Gifts. The Holy Spirit is also known as the Sanctifier. He who makes us holy. Holy Spirit is also known as the sweet guest of our souls. What a beautiful title. And also the Holy Spirit, he's our counselor. He's the one who gives us good advice. And he's also known as the consoler. He gives us consolation in the midst of the many trials of life. Then the Holy Spirit is our interior master. How important is for us to grow in our prayer life? But we want to rely upon the Holy Spirit. In the words of St. Paul in his letter to the Romans, chapter 8, St. Paul reminds us with these words, we don't know how to pray as we ought, but the Holy Spirit intercedes with ineffable groans so that we can say, Abba, which means daddy or father. So let's invite the Holy Spirit to give us a lot of light in our intellect, in the fire of divine love to burn within our hearts. As we say, come Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, and enkindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your spirit, and they shall be created. And thou shalt renew the face of the earth. Let us pray. O God, it instruct the hearts of your faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit. Grant us that by the same Spirit we may be truly wise, and ever rejoice in his consolation through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. Glory be to the Father, to the Son, to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady of Fatima, pray for us. Saint Joseph, pray for us. Saint Michael the Archangel, pray for us. Saint Gabriel, pray for us. Saint Raphael, pray for us. Saint Ignatius of Loyola, pray for us. Saint Maria Faustina Kowalska, pray for us. Saint Pontus and Hippolytus, pray for us. Blessed Michael McGivney, pray for us. all God's angels and saints pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. My friends, to give you encouragement, I promise to pray for all of you. I've got actually two Masses today, an anniversary Mass at 12:45, and then I have another Mass later on downtown for a group of people that were preparing to be consecrated to Mary. So I'll place you on the altar in these two Eucharistic celebrations, these two Masses. And I'd like to offer these specific intentions. I'd like to pray for all of us that we would all right now, today, make a real effort to be open to the presence of the Holy Spirit. In a word, our sanctification, our conversion, and our salvation depends in large part in being open to the workings of the Holy Spirit. So during the course of the day, you might say this short prayer that I've composed. And that prayer is, "Come, Holy Spirit, come to the heart of Mary. Come, Holy Spirit, come to the heart of Mary." So that might be a prayer that you're repeating during the course of the day to you might say, fan the flame, to rekindle the fire of God's love burning within your hearts. My second intention, I'd like to pray for your children. It is interesting how the gospel today is related to that topic. It's the relationship between Jesus and children. Very short but very telling passage. Only three short verses in Matthew chapter 19, 13 to 15. Jesus' relationship to children. So I'd like to pray for your children as well as for you, because you are the principal teachers, formators of your children, in all, but especially in the realm of faith. Then, my third intention will be that all of us would try to be faithful to our prayer discipline. Not to say that you have to do your holy hour before our talk in the morning. Actually, as a result of our talk, this could give you food for thought, inspiration, motivation to pray over a specific topic or theme. However, I cannot insist too much upon the importance of trying, striving on a daily basis to be faithful to prayer, and not only to be faithful to prayer, but also to try to intensify our prayer life. Saint Teresa of Avila, one of the women doctors of the church, who is the master of prayer, says very clearly in her writings, she says these words, "Debemos tener una determinada determinación para nunca dejar la oración." Es muy poética. I said in Spanish, Saint Teresa of Avila says we have to have a determined determination. We have to have a determined determination to never give up prayer. to be faithful. And those who get married, they promise faithfulness in good times and bad, in health and sickness, riches and poverty, until death do they part. So Christ is the greatest lover. We should try to be faithful to our daily conversation with the Lord. All right. So let's enter into our conversation today. And today being Saturday, I'd like to invite all of you to try to do something special for Mary. Actually, this Monday, the church celebrates one of the principal Marian feast days of the year. It's a solemnity. It's in the middle of August as well as the middle of summer. And we celebrate, my friends, the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary into heaven. Saint Maria Faustina Kowalska, who is the Secretary of Divine Mercy, she had great love for Mary, and in preparation for the chief Marian solemnities like the Immaculate Conception, as well as the Assumption, she would make a novena. We could maybe make a Triduum, which would be today, tomorrow, and on her feast day, Triduum would be 3 days. And Faustina would do something that is extraordinary. We would think that this is beyond our capacity, but I'll tell you what she would do. In the novena, those 9 days, Faustina would pray 1,000 Hail Marys. 1,000 Hail Marys. Can you imagine that? And we have difficulty in praying one rosary, which would be just 50 Hail Marys. And I've heard, talking to some of the Filipinos, that they've actually done that, that they try to pray the 1,000 Hail Marys. It's possible, but it takes a lot of discipline, a lot of goodwill, and a lot of determination. I'm not going to say that you have to pray your 1,000 Hail Marys today, but what I would say, to honor Mary, to at least pray one rosary today, and try to pray that rosary with a lot of fervor. And if you can pray the rosary with your family, there's a special grace. In these very difficult times, my friends, we have to strengthen our prayer life. Not diminish our prayer life, but we have to strengthen our prayer life. So that's my Marian catechesis for today, because Saturday we always want to give a word to the Blessed Virgin Mary, because that's her day during the week, Saturdays. All right. I'd like to make a bridge or connection between yesterday's gospel and today. Yesterday we entered into the 19th chapter of St. Matthew. And just a brief recap, and we're going to see how this leads right into the gospel for today. If you remember, yesterday we're talking about the Pharisees that posed Jesus this question with the intention of trapping him. In other words, they had bad will. They had the intention of trapping our Lord. So they said, "Master, Is it right for man to divorce his wife? And Jesus said, have you not heard, or have you not heard what was said of old? And Jesus basically quotes the very first book of the Bible, the book of Genesis. And Jesus says that it is written that a man shall leave his father and mother, and he shall cling or cleave to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. Therefore, what God has united, let no man rent asunder. And Jesus says, a married man who leaves his wife and is united with another woman has committed adultery. So Jesus specifies in those few words many things. First is that God creates the human person in his image and likeness with great dignity. Second is that God created two different sexual identities in this world where you have so much confusion due to transgenderism and the LGBT agenda. There's so much confusion today. So much confusion today as to the sexual identity, the sexual identity of the human person. So Jesus specifies it very clearly, says, in the beginning God created them man and woman, Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve, okay? Man and woman. Then he says that a man will leave his father and mother, two different sexual identities, and he will be united to his wife. And they'll become one flesh. And what God has united, let no man rent asunder. So just a brief commentary on this. In this world of ours in which there is so much confusion, you must rely upon that biblical passage to defend God as creator, creating an obvious sexual difference between the man and the woman. So rely upon that. You can go to Matthew chapter 19, or you can go to Genesis chapter 2 and 3. And you can rely upon those sources. Because when we're talking to others, when we're writing, when we're teaching, we should always have as our foundation, we should always have as our foundation the Word of God. Have as our foundation the Word of God. I tell people, or ask people, does truth exist? And they kind of scratch their head, they never heard that question, but does truth exist? And yes. And it doesn't come from sociology or psychology or politics or public opinion or the mass media. No. The truth comes from the Bible, because the Bible is the Word of God. And the truth comes from the lips in the heart of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. So yesterday, building upon that biblical verse, I mentioned to you as parents what you should do, especially for your children. Now, most of you who are following me have already chosen the state of marriage. But many of your children and some of your grandchildren have not made that choice as of yet. As of yet, they've not made that decision. So I mentioned to all of our Facebook family, our Perseverance family yesterday, that it wouldn't be a bad idea if you could actually offer masses, place your name, and next to it, you can place my family, with the intention that your son or daughter, who most likely are called to the marriage state, most likely, not all, hopefully some want to become priests, maybe become religious nuns, we hope, that by offering that mass, you're praying that they, your children, will, if they're called to the marriage state, that they will make the right choice as to their future husband or wife. Because the vocational choice that each and every individual makes is by far his most important choice. Think about this. My parents were married 1954. My dad died 2016. So they were married 62 years. That's a long period of time. And they said many people marry the wrong person at the wrong time, in the wrong place, with the wrong intention. That is tantamount to disaster. And the second point I made yesterday was to read the book of Tobit in the Old Testament from the wisdom literature genre. And to read through the pages focusing upon the Archangel Raphael. That's right. The Archangel Raphael is the patron saint of many things. He's the patron saint of purity and joy and travelers and happy meetings, eyesight. He's the patron saint of many things. But also he's a patron saint of connecting couples as well as marriage. You might even pray to the Archangel Raphael, which means God heals, for your sons and daughters. Okay, so that's a recap or a summary of what we actually said yesterday in our talk. You're going to see how the gospel today is a sequel or a follow-up from the gospel yesterday. So one of the primary focuses of the gospel yesterday was the creation of man and woman and the sacrament of holy matrimony. So the gospel today, you're going to see there's a logical sequel. So it says that children were brought to Jesus that he might place his hands on them and pray. But the disciples rebuked them. Rebuked the mothers and the parents. But Jesus defended the mothers and the children. He said, let the children come to me. And don't prevent them. And then Jesus says, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. Then he places his hands on them, and then Jesus went away. So I see the passage today as a logical sequel or follow-up of the gospel yesterday. And it's this. Once a couple is married, the first command in the Bible, Jesus, God says, increase and multiply. In other words, God is saying to Adam and Eve, the man and the woman, increase and multiply, have children, and fill the face of the earth. That's actually the first command. So the gospel yesterday was marriage between man and woman, and that would be Adam and Eve, our first parents. In the gospel today, you've got children that are brought to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That being the case, my friends, let us talk about what we can do in the formation of children. I have a lot prepared for today, but we'll cover as much as we can in our limited time. So let's talk about this, the reality of children and what we can do to foster the welfare, the protection, the blessing of children. First point is this. We'll start with a negative. And it's this. We'll start with a negative. We must militate against what John Paul II says in his encyclical Evangelium Vitae, the Gospel of Life. We must militate against a mentality. John Paul II calls it the culture of death, which is diametrically opposed to the gospel of life. That's right, the culture of death, which is diametrically opposed to the gospel of life. And that's the title of the encyclical Evangelium Vitae. So if we want to foster the welfare of the child, we have to reject categorically, with a determination, both the contraceptive mentality, which is so pervasive and widespread, it's interesting that before, in the life of my parents and your parents or your grandparents, couples would get married and they would say, let's have children. Now couples get married and they say, how can we avoid having children? I repeat, and if you're my age or about my age, you understand what I'm saying about this, is that couples would get married and they would say, well, let's have children and we'll accept as many children as God sends us. That's the way it was. And often, I read an article in Homiletical Pastoral Review by Father Kenneth Baker, which was the basically the periodical for priests to help them to prepare their sermons for the Sunday Mass, and other articles too. Years ago, I remember reading an article that highlighted the fact that why is there a real drop or decline in vocations. The essence of that article, and it seems to me to be common sense, maybe it is for you, was that the use of contraception and the simple fact that couples today are not open to having a big family. That seemed to be common sense. And I'll give you an example. My parents married in the year 1954. It was actually June 26, 1954. March 27, 1955, my older brother was born. Dr. Michael Broom now. He's an orthopedic surgeon in Orlando. So he was born 9 months and one day after my parents were born, or were married. Then, I am an Irish twin. Irish twin is a way of saying I was born within 12 months. I was born within 12 months of my older brother. So once we hit February, I'm actually the same age as my older brother for a month. My parents have 9 children. So as a result of that generosity, the fact that my parents were open to having as many children as God wanted to send them, no idea. No concept of contraception, but if God sends a child, then God will provide. Then God gave my parents a vocation to the priesthood, and that's me, yours truly. Father Dave, who's with us, he's one of 13 children, 12 boys and one girl. Not only is he a priest, but he has an older brother that's a priest in Argentina. And many of our oblates from the past, like Father Tim Gallagher, Father Greg Short, come from a family of 9, 10, or 11. And it stands to reason. When parents have God in their lives and they're open to God by having children, because of that generosity, God will often bless them with a vocation to the priesthood or religious life. So what I'm saying, my friends, is that we have to militate, we have to fight manfully against the contraceptive mentality, the abortion mentality. We have to fight against that ruthlessly. And it's true in many areas. Vocations are very sparse. Vocations are very sparse. So there's a relationship between the gospel yesterday and today. So let's move on with our topic. But I thought it was incumbent upon me to highlight the fact that let the little children come to me has a direct relationship to parents saying yes to having the children. Yes, to having the children that God is willing to save to them, a gift to them. So say, for example, John and Mary, they have two children, and then Mary has a tubal ligation or John has a vasectomy, either one of those. They have two children, but God wanted to give them eight. So there are six children that are never born. From those six children, God could choose one to become a nun, another one to become a priest, who would become a bishop. So we have to be very pro-life and being open to having the children that God wants to send us. Better to have one extra child than one child less. Be open to the reality of procreation. Procreation means that God is the creator. But God chooses man and woman to collaborate in the work of creation. That's why it's called procreation. It's called procreation. Procreation. So let's move on. The next point I'd like to highlight, and if you're just tuning in, I'm talking about the words of Jesus who says, "Let the little children come to me." What can we do to benefit the child? What can we do to promote, to benefit the child? And the second is this. You know, my friends, I'll throw a curveball at you now. We have to be born three times. You're saying, what? How can we be born three times? Didn't Nicodemus talk to Jesus about that? Somewhat. We have to be born physically. Then we have to be born spiritually or supernaturally. And this comes about, my friends, through the sacrament of baptism. Indeed, Jesus said to Nicodemus, and you can read in John chapter 3, and if you watch The Chosen with Jonathan Rumi, Nicodemus is one of the prominent figures in this wonderful series on the life of Christ. Jesus said to Nicodemus, "Unless a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." But also there's a third birth, and that is the death of the saint is his birth into heaven. So if we live holy lives, our physical death is nothing less than a diving board or a jumping board into the arms of our loving Father. That's right. It's a jumping board, a trampoline, a catapult into the arms of our loving Father. So, with reference to the child, we should always, after the child is born, we should always, after the child is born, provide for the baptism of that child as soon as possible. Catechism of the Catholic Church says within the first few weeks, the earlier the better. The earlier the better. I was reading a couple of days ago, I was reading the life of St. Faustina Kowalska. She was baptized before 2 days had already transpired. Within about a day, Faustina was already baptized as Helena. This is the case of John the 23rd. And many saints are baptized within a day or two or within a week. You may not be able to baptize your child as soon as that, but you should make a concerted effort to get that child baptized as soon as possible. Even when the woman is pregnant, she should, with her husband, make the preparations for baptism even before the child is born. That's right. So go to the baptismal talks, fill out the forms, choose your godparents. All that can be done before the child is born. Let me tell you an interesting experience I had with respect to baptizing quickly. I was giving a talk on baptism, and one of our parishioners was listening to me, and I think I made a reference to the fact that many of the saints were baptized within 24 hours. This woman was in her early 40s, and she was expecting her last child. She said, "Padre Escobita, I would like to have my child baptized within 24 hours. I said, "Well, it's not always that easy, but let's look into it." So she made the baptismal talk, filled in the forms, had the godparents, and she gave birth to a little boy who she named Michael in Los Alamitos Hospital, which is only about 2 miles away from St. Peter Chanel, our parish. The birth was a relatively easy birth, and that same day later on she came in with the baby to the church. I baptized her child, I think it was within about 12 hours after the child was born. So I thought I would share that story with you, that she didn't wait more than a few hours to have that child baptized, and I collaborated with that. So, Jesus says, "Let the little children come to me." One of the major obstacles I notice in having children baptized is the fact that many couples place the social above the sacramental. I repeat, they place the social above the sacramental. When I say social, I'm referring to the fact that they want to have a fiesta, a big party, and expend a lot of money, and maybe have a mariachi or a band. And as a result of that, they delay the baptism for months, sometimes even a year. Now this, technically speaking, this could be a serious sin. The gospel today, Jesus says, "Let the little children come to me. Let the little children come to me." By postponing or delaying baptism, then the child does not have God within his heart, because baptism transforms that individual into a son or daughter of God, a brother or sister to Jesus Christ, as well as a friend of the Holy Spirit, and a living tabernacle, a living tabernacle of the Blessed Trinity, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So, for the love of God, for the love of God, my friends, do not delay the baptism of your child. Maybe it's going to be your grandchild, due to social reasons. Have the child baptized as soon as possible. Have a little party and leave it at that. And if you want to have a big party later on, fine. But my friends, what I'm saying is we have to have more faith in what's happening in the moment of a baptism. Have more faith. Have more faith. But also, not only should we have more faith, but also we should try to live a more frugal, simple, detached, less materialistic life, and have our minds, our hearts, our souls, our desires fixed on what is most important. That is God in our lives and the eternal salvation of our souls. That's right. So my friends, if you're tuning in, I'm talking about the biblical passage of the gospel today where Jesus is prevented from having the children to come to him by the disciples, and Jesus says, let the little children come to me. Do not prevent them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to them. And Jesus places his hands on them, and he blesses them. That's the gospel for today. And I'm giving an interpretation on how we can live out this gospel. All right. I have so much to say in this topic, but I'd like to highlight another point, and it's this. Upon the birth of a child, obviously, a very important dimension of the of that child and his life is the name that you will give to that child. That's right. The name that you'll give to that child. Over my many years as a priest, I baptized hundreds of children. That's right, I baptized hundreds of children. And I've noticed over the years that parents are giving to their children sometimes very weird names. Very weird names, almost as if these names are invented. Sometimes I thought that they go to the store and buy some dice and with letters and they throw it out. The first 10 letters that come up, that's going to be the name of the child. Or some exotic flower on the top of a mountain. Or some movie star. Or some actor in telenovelas. In other words, they're giving to their children names that are just weird. They're very odd. That means the children are stuck with those names the rest of their lives. The church, the catechism says that the child should be given a Christian name, or at least a Christian orientation. What I'd like to do is just point out, okay, we're nine altogether. I'll mention the first five of us, the names that my mom and dad gave to us. My mom and dad gave to us actually two names. Two names of two saints. Because another thing I'd have to say is this. By depriving your child of a Christian name, that means that that saint in heaven won't be praying for your son or daughter. The Beatles used to sing, Get a Little Help from My Friends. Well, I could say, let us get a little help from my friends in the supernatural realm by giving our children the name of a saint. That's right, of a saint. The name of a saint. So going back to what I was saying, my oldest brother, I'll go for the first five of us, Michael Joseph. So he was given as patron saint, Saint Michael the Archangel, and Saint Joseph, the greatest of all saints. I follow, and my first name technically is Claude Edward. Claude would be Saint Claude de la Colombière, who is the spiritual director of Saint Margaret Mary Alacoque. And Edward, but Saint Edward the Confessor, who was a king in England who lived around the year 1000, the beginning of the second millennium. My brother that follows me, Thomas Peter. So he was actually given for his name two of the apostles. And the brother that followed him would be Christopher James, Saint Christopher, who according to tradition carried Christ, the Christ bearer. Then the first daughter my parents had, her name was Victoria. And maybe you know, it's Victoria would be Our Lady of Victory. Lady of Victory is instrumental in the Battle of Lepanto in the 1500s, around 1571, where the Catholics were able to defeat the Muslim Navy, which was much more powerful. Her name is Victoria Anne. And Anne happens to be the mother of Mary, as well as the grandmother of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Not saying this to toot my horn, but just giving you an example of how my parents wanted us to have a good Christian name, a name of a saint. So each and every one of us were given two names. And each one of those names is a saint. Michael Joseph, so he's got Saint Michael the Archangel as his patron. And Saint Joseph and the brother that follows me, Thomas Peter. Peter the first pope and Thomas the doubter, who said after he saw Jesus, my Lord and my God. So I'd like to really highlight that because we're living in a world which has become very materialistic, very egotistic, very secular, very pagan. very pagan. One last point I'd like to make related to baptism is the following. Now, if you have a child that is born with very serious, very, very serious health conditions and is in the hospital, for the love of God and for the salvation of that child, for the love of God as well as for the salvation of that child, have that child baptized. Have that child baptized as soon as possible. Have that child baptized as soon as possible. Not to wait a minute. So the child is in an incubator, maybe being sustained by a breathing machine. And the life of the child is in jeopardy. For the love of God, have that child baptized. Call the priest. Call the priest. However, this is very important that we understand this concept. Call the priest or the deacon. However, if it is such that the priest can't make it, then you yourself or your husband or your godfather or the nurse, for that matter, can baptize the child. That's right. In the case of an emergency, and you should know this, Catechism wants us as teachers to teach you people this reality. We as pastors, teachers, want you to know this truth. In the case of an emergency, not only can you baptize, but you should baptize. So you might say, well, Father Broome, how do you do it? Well, have water. It doesn't have to be holy water, just water. And gently place the water on the forehead of your child. Say the name of the child, John, and you say the Trinitarian formula. John, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and pour the water on the head, and of the Son, pour the water on the head, and of the Holy Spirit, pour the water on the head. That moment, your child is baptized. And if your child were to die, there, shortly after that, your child would go right to heaven and your child would be a new saint. So my friends, we've had a really good conversation. I've got so much more to say, but we've given you some highlights on the interpretation of the gospel today. Let the little children come to me. So may God bless you. The Lord be with you. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.